Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Death isn't the last word. With God, the last word is life.
I think of how God loves me because he lost his son.
And I think with that, it gives you the courage to carry on.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. In just a moment, part two of Jim's two-part conversation with Charles Morris, author, radio host, speaker on the Haven Today program. And for those of you who may not have heard his testimony before, there's a story of death, of overdose, and actually grasping grace after the death of a child is our theme today. You want to make sure that you're with us for all of today's edition of the program. And if you missed part one, go back to homeward.com, go to the archives, listen to the first part of this program, even before you listen to part two, so you can hear the whole story of what Charles and Janet have been through and now how they're encouraging other parents of kids who are dealing with chemical addictions or other destructive behaviors and saying, we release this child to God and we'll see what God has in store for him and for us. Now here's part two of this fascinating conversation with Dr. Jim Burns.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, Jeff Morris was a wonderfully complicated kid. From the time he was 2 years old, he took his parents on an emotional roller coaster ride. It ultimately ended with his death as the result of an accidental drug overdose. Now, Charles and Janet Morris grieved over the loss of their son, and yet they experienced peace, healing, and actually even hope in the midst of their grieving. Well, in the 5 years which has passed since their son's death, they have discovered the key to grasping grace in spite of the sense of loss they continue to confront. During the next half hour on Homeward, I'm going to continue my conversation with Charles Morris about his challenging experience. Grasping grace after the death of a child is our topic, and this is a story of hope that every parent needs to hear. So stay with us.
Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. And Jim, we're about to hear part two of a conversation that's going to be helpful and filled with hope, but it's also on a topic that many of us parents would rather not have to think about.
Well, to put it mildly, Roger, I mean, no parent ever wants to think about the possibility that one of their own children would die before they do.
Right.
I mean, that's just a nightmare. And yet this really is a reality in many homes, and it's a challenging season that can put an unbelievable amount of pain and pressure on the family. I mean, that's obvious, but tough time. But yet in this conversation, we're going to find a lot of hope.
That's right. We are grateful to have Charles Morris with us in studio once again today. He's been walking down this road for the past 5 years or so. And Jim, as you mentioned, he really does have a message of hope for us.
Yeah, it's amazing to have hope in the midst of such pain. I have the utmost respect, Roger, for Charles and his wife, Janet, and the courage they've shown in these 5 years since their son, Jeff, and actually the authenticity, too,
yeah,
because they're not trying to bury this thing. Charles is a Christian leader, and yet, you know, they're talking about the problems that they had with their son, really, which was the result of an accidental drug overdose, but not a pretty sight at all. They have experienced and are experiencing still incredible grief and loss, and yet they are learning how to grasp the grace of God in spite of their pain. Amazing.
Yeah, it is. And that's our theme on today's edition of Homeward. So now let's hear part two of Dr. Jim Burns' discussion on this powerful subject.
Charles Morris with us. It's a continuing conversation. We're talking about grasping grace after the death of a child, and he knows this so well. Charles is the speaker on Haven Today. It's an internationally syndicated ministry program, and he's been the host of that great program since 2000. Charles and Janet have been partners in marriage and ministry for almost 30 years, and they've co-authored two books, Jesus in the Midst of Success, and the book we're talking about today, Saving a Life, How We Found Courage When Death Rescued Our Son. By the way, very inspirational, tough story. The Morrises make their home here in Southern California, where our studio is, and they are the parents of three grown children, including their late son, Jeff, who we've been talking about, as well as a couple of grandchildren. Welcome back to our program. Great to have you with
us. Hey, Jim. Good to be back with you.
I feel a little bit like the little leaguer pitching to the major leaguer.
You're the kind one. I'm just glad on a subject like this that you're on that side of the desk in the studio.
Well, great to have you with us again. 5 years ago, tragically, your son died of a drug overdose. And in some ways, it was the culmination of a life that you describe as being in kind of the constant state of emergency, and I think a lot of parents could identify with that. I want you to talk about what you meant by that.
Mm. Well, living with our son, Jeff, who was delightful with a great sense of humor, he was a bright kid, but you never knew when you might get a call in the middle of the night, like from the Orange County Sheriff's Office or the Irvine Police Department, or he walks in and he's covered in blood, having come into some kind of accident. I mean, not serious. He was never shot. He was never knifed or anything like that. But just the effects of drugs, the effects of going then to the psychiatrist to cure the problems that you have. So you're taking pills and he's saying, now don't go do the illegal stuff because it doesn't mix well with what I'm giving you. But of course, that is going to happen. But the fact is, we did lose our son 5 years ago from a drug overdose. We will, for the rest of our lives, Janet and I will always be remembering that. It's something you never know when grief will come. Sometimes it's a little hard when you're around Christians for some reason, because many Christians have this idea that life is going to be all happy. And that is not life, you know,
no,
in this world.
God really
world.
Never promised that. But and even when they look at you as a Christian leader and whatnot, they say, well, their family is not going to have the problems.
Yeah. And I should say this, Jim, if somebody's thinking they're going to get our book and they're going to have this little simple template, follow this book and you'll have the perfect child.
Right.
This is not the book for
you. No, that's why I like this book.
But it's also a book for somebody who's maybe never even had children, but they've lost a spouse or they're in process of losing someone they love as well.
You're exactly right. And, you know, you lost Jeff, and yet in some ways it was a loss for the family as well. I thought it was interesting as you were kind of sorting through your thoughts and emotions after Jeff's death, you noted that your efforts to reach him in your mind might have failed, but you said Jesus didn't take his eye off of Jeff and Jesus didn't fail.
Well, that's right. And that's where is your comfort? You know, where's the brass ring that you're going to hold on to, that you're going to pull?
Right.
And as Christians, we only had one place to go. And we had all of this evidence that our son was a believer, even though how he died was so tragic. The fact is, we're convinced our son, Jeff, is in heaven today, and we will join him someday.
Yeah, grace is nice and wonderful. And
It is.
Isn't it?
It's mysterious. We don't understand it. We sing about it. We talk about it. And it is more, so much more than praying a sinner's prayer.
Right.
Christians need grace every day of their lives.
Right. Right.
And I just look in the mirror and see
I appreciate that. And I appreciate your leadership and you being authentic in this and actually being willing to share this story. There's a lot of people that wouldn't want to. Jeff was using drugs. You describe his behavior as kind of like one of the characters in one of the Chronicles of Narnia. And I want you to talk about that story.
Well, I'd be happy to, because it was one of those moving stories for us. And God works in ways you need him, because he knows us and loves us and knows what's best for us. After our son Jeff had died, we got the call at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. We got to San Clemente, where the crime scene was. The tape was up. It looked like a Law and Order scene. We were there till midnight, and we finally got home probably about 12:30. And as we walked into our house, which was a number of miles away, but also in Southern California, there on the coffee table was one of the Chronicles of Narnia, one of the books by C.S. Lewis. Now, I had read that to all of our kids, including Jeff. My wife, Janet, had read the books to all of our kids, and she's probably read the Chronicles of Narnia 4 or 5 times. For me, it's just twice. And
I read it on my honeymoon, by the way.
Oh, no,
I'm not sure that's
a
good honeymoon story. I read the entire Chronicles of Narnia, Roger. That's not a...
Lewis will work anytime, I think.
Absolutely.
We get there, and there's the book, The Silver Chair, which our other son, Peter, had been reading and had left on the coffee table. Janet and I looked at each other, and we just thanked the Lord. The Lord sends verses of scriptures. He uses the word. He uses friends when you've lost someone and you really need help. In that case, he used this book by C.S. Lewis. And for someone who perhaps doesn't know the story, there's this prince in there, Prince Rillian, and he goes out. He wants to avenge the death of his mother, but there's this evil queen that seduces him and lures him into her underground realm. But then he's deluded, and he believes everything that she tells him. She's flattering, and she's putting a spin on reality. But there, for a few moments every day, he returns to sanity, and he sees life as it really is, and he remembers his true identity. And in those moments, he resists the queen and her enchantment. And yet all his efforts are useless because she chains him to a silver chair when she leaves every day. And try as he might, he can't break the chains. All he can do is struggle. and desperately cry out for help to the Christ figure in C.S. Lewis's book, Aslan, and the Lord of Narnia. And of course, we saw that. We remembered the story. And Jim, we just, well, we started weeping again. We'd done a lot of weeping, a lot of crying that night. And we believe that our son, even in the seconds or minutes of realizing he was dying, he had taken too much, that he looked to heaven and he cried to Aslan for help. Right. And the wonderful thing is, the promises that we have in Scripture is if anyone calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not just talking about walking an aisle and saying a sinner's prayer. Yes, I am talking about that. I'm talking about when you've fallen off a cliff, or when you've just, the few seconds before you die in a traffic accident, if you sincerely call on Aslan, call on the Lord Jesus Christ, he hears you. And in the case of our son Jeff, Aslan sent help and brought him home. Yeah. We are convinced of that.
And what, you know, what's fascinating about it is that you ask a question in your book as you're kind of telling that story. You said, did God see Jeff as a royal son in spite of his faint faith and deep delusions? And I think one of the incredible things that we have to get past sometimes as parents is we see them sometimes sober and wonderful and sometimes using and very difficult and not, yes. and not trusting him.
Yes.
God still sees them as his child, and he wants the best for his children at all times.
He loves them constantly.
Yeah. Not for what
they
do, but
for who
they are.
In a way that a human parent can't always do.
Yeah, we can love our children sometimes not for what they do, but for who they are. But God loves them, period.
That's right, and unconditionally.
And that's a really hard thing to understand for a parent when they're going through a tough time with a child, even not even just your story, but just going through a tough time with a child, isn't it? Very,
absolutely.
Very tough.
And every time we hear a story like this, it is encouraging to know that there's another parent who says, I know what you're going through. At the same time, it is somewhat heartbreaking to know that there are parents, there are families who are going through all of this. And if that is your story today, we would love to hear from you. Drop us a line at homeward.com. Let us know. We'll see if we can connect you with some other folks who are dealing with the same type of issue too. And please know that your prayers and support keep this ministry going so we can be a conduit for other parents and other grandparents and young adults too who are going through this and trying to reconnect with mom and dad after a season of this. Dr. Jim Burns has written a book called How to Talk to Your Kids About Drugs. It's a very, very helpful, practical book. It's almost like more like a textbook. It's not something you just read at the beach. It's something that has a lot of information about a lot of different types of chemical and substance abuse. If you'd like information on how to order a copy of that book, knowing that a portion of the proceeds would go to support the Ministry of Homeward, just drop us a line. Go to our online resource center today at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
You just don't seem like the party type, Mom.
Well, you know how it is. I wanted to fit in. I was a cheerleader in high school, and one night after a football game, I was at a party, and some of my friends were drinking beer, and they offered me some, and I liked it. Before long, it was two beers, and then a six-pack, and then hard liquor.
Whoa. Well, did you ever smoke pot?
Actually, yes.
You did?
I did. I mean, it was the 70s, right? Everyone was doing it, and I wanted to fit in. Oh, what a mistake.
Alcohol is a drug, and potentially as dangerous to kids as any other drug they might get their hands on. Children see, children do. So make sure they're seeing a good example from you. They need to see you showing respect for the law and really making wise decisions yourself. To download a free copy of my tip sheet called 8 Points for Drug-Proofing Your Kids, go to homeward.com.
Welcome back. Boy, this is going by so fast. Charles Morris with us today. We're talking about grasping grace after the death of a child. I really can't think of anything more difficult than having a child die. And in this case, Jeff die of a drug overdose. Charles is a speaker on Haven Today. He's the host of the internationally syndicated ministry program. Charles and Janet have been partners in marriage for almost 30 years now. And the book we're talking about today is called Saving a Life, How We Found Courage When Death Rescued Our Son. And is it quite the story? In the midst of all this, and again, I mean, he's involved in drugs and he's lying and he's stolen from you guys and whatnot. And as you're going through your grief, one of the things that you said was what actually helped us was that we realized we have the capacity to go there too.
Yeah, that takes a little while to get to because I think there really is truth in stages of grief that you go through, and there's, you know, the anger and there's the anxiety and there's the blame that you cast on yourself, when, especially when a child dies. And of course, you're always told by people that have observed this and others that the death of a spouse, you can somehow get by. Maybe you remarry, maybe, you know, you're able to forget. But a death of a child, that lingers. That doesn't ever go away at all. But I guess what I'm kind of reminded of, Jim, is when I was a journalist and going and seeing a prisoner on death row once in a state prison. He was about to be executed. And coming away after meeting him and doing an interview with him, realizing, hey, that's me sitting in there, you know? I may not have taken somebody's life in real life. But, you know, just as Jesus said, if you've committed adultery in your heart or murder in your heart, it's the same as having done it in reality, because in a sense it is reality. And with our son, I mean, maybe I've never been addicted to drugs, but the same kind of patterns, I use the word sin on our program, the same kind of sin patterns are there in all of us. And to say, well, he didn't have faith, you know, and he won't be in heaven because he just didn't have faith, so he was taking drugs. Hey, stop and look in the mirror. Right. My faith isn't strong. I look and I see myself every day, and apart from just getting on my knees again and saying, Lord, fill my cup with grace because I lack it. And, you know, if I have any faith, it's the faith of a mustard seed. But I know my faith is a gift of God. And therefore, God, you can give me the faith I need to grow me, sustain me, and give me the grace to go on and give me the grace to help other people, to help my children, to help someone else I love.
Give me the grace to offer grace.
Yeah.
If not, we're pretty arrogant because we're asking God for grace and forgiveness, and then we aren't willing sometimes to do that for our own family members.
We're fools. Right. We're fools. Yes.
Now, on the day of the funeral, you found a bookmark that actually Jeff had made about 10 years earlier, and it had quite significance. I think it was from The Lord of the Rings, and it said, "Where shall I find courage?" Do you remember that?
Yes, yes. It was just amazing. We had been praying for courage, and we had found a verse of Scripture in Romans that had really helped us. We woke up that morning. We had the funeral ahead of us. We had our other two children with us. We had all these relatives and people from a little town in the middle of the country that knew us and hadn't seen us in years and didn't know the whole story. So we were staying at my folks' house, and we had slept on this sleeper sofa, or our kids had slept there many times through the years, and there it was just a little piece of paper. Janet had dropped something, and she reached down, as you can, in a sleeper sofa to pick it up. But there was this other piece of paper, and it was from The Lord of the Rings. And it was in the handwriting of our son, Jeff, who was an artist. And so we could easily tell it was his handwriting and some little doodles and things. And where do you find courage? And that, of course, took us to The Lord of the Rings as well. Cool. Which we read a lot to our kids growing up, you know, and we were a reading family. And so we're always comparing things that come along. But we knew, having just gotten through saying our amen to the prayer, Lord, we need some courage, to find that and to have had this verse in Romans come on us, which was a gift from the Lord as well. We knew the Lord was with us. We knew the Lord would take us through that day. And those days, when that happened, right after he died, we were praying every day, Lord, just get us through today. Just get us through one more day. Right. I hope I don't sound, Jim, like I've got all the answers. And, you know, no matter what you're going through, I've got answers that will get you through, because that's not the case. But I know where to go for the help that I need.
Well, that's a great reminder. And there is a healing process. And you guys have experienced personally a healing process. It's not that it's over and there isn't emotion and hurt and, you know, a pain in your heart. But even in your book, you talked about the fact that as you looked at your own healing process, one of the illustrations I appreciated was in Matthew 9, it talked about the paralyzed man who was lowered from the roof so his friends could get near Jesus to be healed. Talk about that.
Well, here were the friends that were going to be helping their good friend, and they couldn't get in to see Jesus. Yeah. And so, thankfully, they figured out a way to do it. Just take the roof apart and lower him down. And because of that exercise of faith, I mean, there's a whole sermon we could preach, you know, on the faith of the man being healed himself, but the faith of his friends, knowing where to take their friend for help, And that's for parents. That's for anybody else to just cling to claim, and to have the confidence that you're not just looking for healing. You're looking to meet with Jesus, because you're never going to be healed unless you also meet with Jesus, unless he extends his hand, which he offers to do, and take us out of the stormy waters or whatever we find ourselves in.
And sometimes we've got to take the whatever it takes to, for us to put our hand out, because his hand is reaching out there.
It is, yes.
Not easy when you're going through a tough time.
He's always there.
Right. And sometimes we forget that, I think. 3 months after Jeff's death, his death certificate shows up in the mail. That basically reminded you guys that death isn't the last word. With God, the last word is life. Talk about that.
That's right. If there's one thing that we have to look forward to, yes, there was a lot more crying for me to do, for my family to do, but the point is, Christ brought life to our son. Life in not a way that we would have chosen for our son at that point, but it was the best way. It was the better way, and God knew that, and for us as well. And it's the hope that we have in the resurrection. And if our faith is anything, if we have hope in anything, it's that the resurrection lives in us today. Yes, it's future. It is the not yet, but it's also the here and now. And with our son, that was the great reminder that I had. And I get to see him again someday.
And I think with that, it gives you the courage to carry on, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Every day. Yeah, every day. And, you know, for Janet and me, we never know when one or the other will grieve. And so it just gives us an opportunity as a couple to just love each other. Mm. It's part of our marriage relationship now. And we're around people and they don't understand, you know, good friends, Christian friends. They don't understand maybe sometimes when we're going through a grieving time. But Janet and I understand it, and we understand it together. But I'll tell you something, Jim. Until we lost our son, I don't think I truly loved other people. I have today a love for listeners to our program, or if I'm out preaching or speaking somewhere in a church, I know I'm going to get a string of people coming up afterwards, and they're going to tell me their problems, and they're going to be pouring their hearts out, and I try to pray with every one of them. I could not love them before I lost my son. And I think of how God loves me because he lost his son.
In many ways, the death of Christ makes that possible for us. Thank you so much for being with
us. Jim, thank you.
And that concludes part two of Dr. Jim Burns' really compelling, heart-wrenching, but touching and encouraging story. Charles Morris has been with us for a couple of days here on the Homeward Broadcast, and we've been hearing his story about grasping grace after the death of a child. He and his wife Janet wrote a book called Saving a Life, which is their journey in the aftermath of their son Jeff and his accidental overdose, and his kind of tumultuous life, and yet the grace that God has extended the Morris family as a result of this, and having a subsequent bout of this with Jeff's younger brother, going through an addiction and then overcoming it, and now walking with the Lord. It's a great story, and it's one Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. You can learn more about it when you go to homeward.com. Jim, speaking of great stories, there's one story that we parents don't tell enough to our kids, and that's the story of how God created money and stewardship. And we need to have that talk with our kids and be more intentional about it. Now we have some resources to help parents actually do that. Talk about those.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse or sex and sexuality. Yeah. But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether. Mm. And we sort of just breeze over that, and yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives. Yeah. These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
These are really great tip sheets, and of course, the principles are all biblical. We are so grateful to our friends at Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment trust company that sees the need. Trust me, as people are making investments with a company like Steadfast, and they don't necessarily have the stewardship tools to understand the investments they're making, that was where this was born. And Steadfast partnered with us and saying, let's put together these tip sheets so we can help parents learn how to pass these principles on to their kids, which will also help parents as well. So if you're married to somebody who's not really up to speed in this area, this might be a good resource for you to use as well. Here's how you get a hold of it. All you have, they're free. Go to homeward.com. Go to the articles and media section of our online resource center. When you do, a little keyword box will come up that says get answers, and you write in Steadfast, STEADFAST, and then hit the button, the tip sheets come up, and you can have at it. So we encourage you to take advantage of those resources today. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.